Praise the Lord. That was good. What a blessing. Thank you, ensemble. I sure enjoyed that. Revelation chapter 3, the book of the Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 1, Revelation 3, 1. Revelation 3, 1, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." In other words, they were known for doing a lot of good things, but God knew what they really were. God knew their heart. And he says in verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." He says, you have a name. People think you're a pretty good church. They think you're doing right, but I know your heart. And then he said, you know, in other words, everything looks real good on the outside. But he says, you know, you're dead. And he said, whatever you have left, he says, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain. In other words, they let go of some things. And he said, so the things that remain, you better strengthen them. They're ready to die. And he says, I've not found thy works perfect before God. But he says this. He says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. He said, you got some things left. You have some truth left. You have all the old truth that you had. He said, now hold fast to those things. And hold fast to those things, he said, because if you don't, he says, I'm going to come on as a thief. And in other words, they're going to have nothing left. And they let some things go. And he said, you need to grab hold of those things again and hold fast to those things again. Otherwise, a thief will come and you'll have nothing left. And I want to talk to you about those two words tonight, hold fast. And I trust the Lord will bless and speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that you'll help us to understand your word tonight and how there are things you tell us we need to hold fast to. And several times, Lord, you've made it clear that we've learned some things, we've gained some things, we've overcome in some areas, and Lord, we need to hold fast to those things and not let go. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, if we have let go, that we'll get them back. And we'll go back to the old paths, we'll go back to the old ways, we'll go back to what we know is right and best in our lives. And then that we'll hold fast to those things that are true. As Satan does everything he can to wrestle them from us, to wrestle the truth from us, and to wrestle our standards, our convictions, I pray you'll help us to hold fast in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, the words hold fast are used several times. We'll look at all of those, or several of those anyway. And the truth is, there are some things that you have that the devil wants. And, you know, when you're saved, he can never take your soul. Praise God for that. By the way, he knows he can't have your soul. He knows when you're saved, there's nothing he can do about that. He can't change that. When a person, isn't that wonderful? When a person bows their head and calls upon Jesus to come into their heart, there's nothing the devil can do about it. There's nothing he can do. He can't change that. But obviously, there are some things that God has given us. And as we grow as Christians, there are things God gives us through his word, through decisions we make at an altar. The devil's trying to take those things away. The devil's trying to take your zeal away and your excitement away and the thrill of being saved. And he can't have your soul, so he'll try to take some things that you have. By the way, they are things you grabbed hold of one day and they were precious to you, but for some reason, you let them go. For some reason, you didn't hold fast. For some reason, you let a precious thing slip away. We're supposed to hold fast to those precious things. No matter what the devil says, we need to hold fast and not let go. That's what happened with Sardis here. They let some things go. They didn't hold fast to things that were precious. Remember when you came to an altar and you made a decision, you said, well, this is great. This is so wonderful. And remember when you got right with God and conviction was gone? You know, that pressure, that guilt that you felt, but you made it right with God and you wept. And boy, you were so excited about that. And now you hold fast to that. and you hold fast to that decision and write those decisions in the front of your Bible and make a record of those decisions and don't let go of those things. Hold fast because those are precious things the devil's trying to take away from you. Precious, precious things. I thought about this as we were on our senior trip. And on the last day, a week from Monday, we had our big day of going to the ocean. A lot of our young people had never seen the ocean. And by the way, we go to deserted ocean. Last year, we spent an hour and a half trying to find a place to go where we could go. And this year, we actually asked some people, and we had a place. But our group got split up, and we were with the Stitches group. My wife and I got to go with the 8 Stitches group, one of the young men, serving the Lord, that might be a stretch. But anyway, Josh Rincon had to have stitches, so my wife and I took him and John Salazar, and we went to the hospital, and the other group went ahead and got lost. And anyway, so, but they knew where to go and everything, finally. And so they went ahead, and Brother Dave was leading that group. And I mean, some of the kids saw the ocean, first time they'd ever seen it, and they just took off for the ocean. I mean, that's the ocean. By the way, everybody's dressed right. You don't have to worry about any of that. Everybody was dressed right, and they take off, though, and not really thinking about the ocean, not thinking they could run into a shark's mouth or anything like that. And normally I would take some time out and I would, you know, tell them different things, tell them important things about the ocean, tell them it's salty. You say they should know that. They should, but they didn't all. But anyway, make a long story short, they take off and Ben Potter decides to challenge the wave. But the thing Ben did not know, and normally this would have been part of the spiel that was given, Ben didn't understand that the wave pretty much always wins. And Ben had his glasses on. And so if you can imagine the Atlantic Ocean, which I one of the things I always point out in my little speech is that we are, you know, when they go out there, they are touching the same water that the folks in England are touching. Which totally impresses everybody. And the folks in Africa are touching. And just so impressive. But I didn't get to give my little spiel. And so Ben attacks the wave with glasses on for a moment. And then the wave took his glasses. And the interesting thing about all that is the wave, of course, they swept that away. I have had stories. In fact, my father-in-law is here. And he has a story of losing something very precious. You know, I can't see from here, Dwayne. I don't know, you know, if you're grimacing or... anyway, he lost his teeth in the Gulf of Mexico one time because he challenged a wave and shouted at it, I guess, and lost his teeth and actually prayed about it and stepped right on them and then put them right in his mouth, which, yeah, that's father-in-law kinds of things, but... At any rate, to make a long story short, they did everything they could to, you know, they walked around, they stayed in that area, they did everything they could, but the ocean, you know, some squid or something is now wearing Ben's glasses. Well, at least one of them. But anyway, but the thing that I thought about is I thought that's, And they're very expensive glasses, by the way, about $300 worth of glasses. And and what he needed to hold fast to those glasses. Now I say all that to say, the whole time, where you know everybody else is just having a great time out there, and they're writing in the sand, and you know seniors rule and all that kind of stuff, watching the waves knock that down, they're having fun. One guy grabbed a crab and was throwing it at the girls, and it was exciting. And everybody's having a good time, but every time I looked up, Ben was walking along the coastline, and he was looking down. He can't see without his glasses. He's looking. I don't know what he's looking for because he couldn't see anything, but he was shuffling his feet, and every now and then he'd reach down. I mean, we're talking about the ocean, and he was doing everything he could to retrieve that which he'd lost. And I say all that, and I use him, and Ben, you know, Ben's a good kid, and he certainly didn't do anything on purpose, and it wasn't even foolish. He just didn't know. You know, you may say, well, I would know that. Yeah, well, you've done that before, but he didn't know. But I kept thinking, there's something that's very precious. By the way, it was precious because it would cost money, and he didn't have a lot of money. It was precious because it was something that he didn't want it to hurt his mom. And so everybody's playing. They're all having their big day. And Ben is going up and down the coastline there, the shoreline, doing everything he can to try to find that which was precious that he wasn't able to hold on to. And I use that illustration because, you know, things that God gives us should be precious to us. Things that God has allowed us to learn and allowed us to experience. I mean, come on, all over this room are people who've led someone to Christ, but it was a long time ago. People all over this room, I mean, you know, you've read your Bible and God's shown you things in the Word of God and you've come forward, you made decisions, but again, have you let go of some of those things? We've experienced the joy of the Lord, but have we let go of that? We've seen God work in our lives. We have the Word of God. But you know, slowly but surely, we kind of just let go of things. And you know what's sad about it? Eventually, in our lives, we're going to be like Ben. Other Christians, everything's going great. God's working and everything. And we're going along in life, doing everything you can to try to recover all that we lost. Hold fast. Hold fast. Don't let go of it. Hold fast, number one, to God's Word. Look at 2 Timothy 1. Hold fast to God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." You see, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. You know, I think about all the people today that are in church. Many of them aren't in church tonight, but they were this morning. They're not in church tonight because churches don't have church. You know, many churches that have given up the King James Bible, they've also given up church on Sunday nights. They've given up Bible study because Bible study doesn't mean as much if you don't really know if you have the Bible or not. And so many, you know, the devil can't have our soul, but he sure does mess with the Word of God a lot. You got to hold fast to it. You cannot let go. Well, you know, I work with people and they all use the NIV or they all use this or they all use that. And they seem to be, you know, they just talk about how much easier it is to understand. Do you want to understand error or ask God to show you the truth? I mean, come on, I can understand Bugs Bunny. It's kind of at my level, maybe a little above sometimes, but so what? How's that going to change my life? I don't want to understand error. I want God to give me the truth. And I want to know that I have the truth from the Word of God. The devil is doing all he can to take our Bibles. You need to decide that the Bible, the King James Bible, is the Word of God, and you need to hold fast to it. Liberals are attacking it. Everybody's attacking it. You can't hardly go to a Christian bookstore today and find a King James Bible. I mean, especially those that have unique names like Our Lady of the Limp Wrist and different names like that. I mean, you're not going to find a King. You walk in and say, "Hey, do you have a King James Bible?" And they just look at you. "I don't know. We got rid of that shelf a long time ago." "Do you have a King James Study Bible?" And they don't even have a clue. Study Bible? They don't have a clue. Come on, the Bible. That's supposed to make us feel good. Have fun. Study Bible? Yeah, hold fast to God's Word. It was precious at one time. You know, by the way, you know, you say, "Well, I'm a King James person." And when is the last time you read it? I mean, do you understand? You can hold fast to it closed, and you're not doing what you ought to do. Hold fast to it, read it, understand it, memorize it, and don't let go of it. Hold fast. Hold fast. You know, Eleazar, one of David's mighty men, the Bible says when he was fighting a battle, his hand clave to the sword. and literally the muscles. I mean, he battled so diligently with that sword. His muscles cramped around the sword. Literally, they had to pry his fingers off of that. That's how we ought to hold on to the Word of God. That's how you and I need to grab hold of our Bible and hold fast to it and don't let it go. You know what I'm seeing? And you do too, because I talked to you about it. I'm seeing folks that used to come to churches like Berean Baptist and used to use the King James Bible. Now they're in other places and they're kicking around the shoreline trying to find what they let go. And it's their King James Bible. And they're saying, I'm not familiar with the verses that come up on the screen. You know, not just the singing of following the bouncing ball, but also, you know, the verses that are in the PowerPoint presentations because we don't have old-fashioned preaching anymore. I'm just saying they are kicking around the shoreline and they're doing all they can to find what they should have held fast to. Yeah. You know, I have the truth and I need to hold fast to it. You have the truth too. You know, every now and then there's going to be someone, a church, you know, this large, somebody, you know, they're starting to get to you. And you know, that pull is going to start. It starts with our teenagers. It's going to pull on you to try to, you know, maybe I need to explore some of those other versions. Or you just hold fast to the King James Bible. You hold fast to it. And as I said, all over this country, all over the world, there are people searching the shoreline trying to find the precious Word of God that they let go of. And they don't have the comfort. I preached this morning about how faithful God is. God's Word, it's faithful, but it doesn't say that other books are faithful. Yeah, there's no comfort in some other book. But God's Word does give that comfort. Oh, let me tell you, there's all kinds of fancy buildings and all kinds of fancy names, and folks are using proper academic terminology and all these kind of things. But the truth of the matter is, they've let go of the preciousness of I have the Word of God in my hands, and we need to hold fast to it. We need to hold fast to the Word of God, and I'm telling you, it is a scary, scary thing. Number two, hold fast not only to the Word of God, but hold fast to your work. Hold fast to your work. Turn to Revelation 2, verse 25. Notice what he says, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." He said, you've done some work, you've done some things. Now you hold fast to it. Back in Revelation, on in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." What's he talking about? He's talking about your crown. He's talking about your reward. Hold fast to it, that it not be taken away. You've served. You've done something. You've worked. Hey, don't give it up for some fun. Don't give it up for something that'll please your flesh. Don't give it up. It's worth it. The reward is worth it, whatever you've done. Hold fast. Keep serving. Keep going. Keep working for God. Amen. I mean, the crown, the reward, maybe from being in the nursery and helping out and taking care of children and maybe teaching a Sunday school class, working on a bus, working in a shepherd's ministry, working in a Spanish ministry, an RU ministry, and you've worked and God's got some blessings for you and God's got a crown for you. Hold on to it. Don't give it up. Don't sell out. Don't sell it and get rid of it. Because I promise you this, someday when we stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we'll wish we'd have given Him more. In my mind, I imagine folks and I see them in their older years and they've let go of some things and they've let go of the work that they did and they're kicking around the shoreline just trying to figure out where in the world it all went. You should have held on. You should have held fast to it. You should have held fast to it. Hold fast to your work. 2 John 8 is a verse that I use often and many times at the end of the year. It says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward that we've wrought, we've worked for." Don't lose the things you've worked for. How many people have been married 24 years only to get a little discouraged and go into some kind of, you know, a little bit of trouble, and maybe they're going through their midlife crisis or something, and sure enough, divorce one another. You know, go through, hey, listen, you've gone through the tough times. You've gone through the hard times. Now, hang in there and hold fast to your work. People drop out of church, drop out of serving God, drop out of this, drop out of that. Listen, you know what? The truth of the matter is, we're all potential backsliders. That's why we need to look at our work as special and precious and wonderful. It breaks my heart to see the testimony of folks that have stood before children, stood before teens, stood before adults, and proclaimed the Word of God and taught the Word of God, only to throw it away to some worldly thing as Demas, who it was said, Demas hath forsaken me. And throw it away because you love the present world. It's not worth it. Hold fast to the work you've done. Hold fast to that which was true. You used to knock on doors all around here telling folks about Jesus. Hold fast to that kind of thing. Hold fast. Hold fast. You know, we get saved, and you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your joy and your peace and your testimony and your happiness. And so many folks, you know, and I find it all the time, they're kicking around the shoreline, trying to figure out what in the world happened. Those things that used to be precious to me. You know, I'm talking to the person today that says, you know, church is getting boring. It's not church. It's you. It has nothing to do with church. It has nothing to do with... Listen, you were excited when you brought visitors. It scares me when it gets this quiet. I don't want you to talk about anything, but, you know... Remember when it was exciting? Okay, don't blame church. Don't blame everything else. Listen to me. You did a work at one time, but you haven't done it in a long time. Hold fast to your work. Hold fast to your work. Folks get backslidden, and you'd never know. I'm thinking of folks that used to teach Sunday school here aren't even in church tonight. Yeah. Hold fast. Hold fast. This might be the biggest heartbreak in the ministry, is seeing all the work just thrown aside for worldliness. Yeah. Thrown aside for a little thrill. Thrown aside for money. Thrown aside for popularity. How sad. Hold fast to your work. Hold fast to your work. Hold fast to that family. And hang in there and keep going and hold fast to that thing. Hold fast to that ministry. Hold fast and keep going. Don't just quit. Don't just give up. Hold fast. Number three, hold fast to your witness. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. The Bible says here, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And you know, don't let it get old. When's the last time you talked about your salvation? Amen. Well, people get tired of hearing. You don't get tired of hearing about it. Preacher, you give your testimony a lot. Why is that? Because I want to hear it. Amen. I want to hear it. I need to hear it. I need to talk about it. You need to talk about yours too. How'd you get saved? You know, instead of talking about baseball scores and other things, why not get together with folks and ask them how they got saved? Talk about your salvation experience. Rehearse it over and over and over and over again, and think about it and be excited about that. You know, people. I think about over and over again. I think about when Brenda and I first met. I think about that. I think about how I felt. I think about, she said this the other day, told somebody that I always used to say that, because she wore braces, that her braces were reflecting off the sun and it was giving me Morse code signals. I don't remember saying that, but you know what? I've thought about that, and that does sound like something I might have said. So I believe it sounds pretty good to me. But I think about how thrilled I was and all that was involved in that. And why? Well, why would you do that? Because I don't want it to get old. Hello? Well, you know, my marriage isn't very thrilling. Then make it thrilling. Make it thrilling. I ask people, marriage counseling 101. You know, hey, well, we're having marital problems. Well, do you still date? Why? There's your problem. Huh? Go back the way it was. Huh? Well, preacher, you know, we used to go parking, and well, now you can legally. I don't understand why folks wouldn't. It's nice to have that light back. I'll tell you what. It was tough this morning. I couldn't see very well. It's a good thing I can see my notes now. You know, the Bible talks about losing your first love. Do you think that's just a joke? Remember when you got saved? See, I remember when I got saved. You know how I remember? It's not because I have a good memory. It's because I keep going over it and 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 over it. I remember the long-haired hippie. I remember the guy that didn't have a clue. I remember before I got saved sitting in the pew and my heart absolutely ready to jump out of my chest when the preacher gave the invitation. I was terrified. I remember the sweat pouring down my face. I remember as a long-haired hippie sitting in that Wesleyan youth camp and sweating so bad that I could see the sweat dripping off my suede leather watch band with little dangly things. And I can still see that sweat dripping. And I remember all of that. And I remember how much I knew God loved me. You know what? He still loves me. And I know that today, and I'm excited about that today. Why? Because I keep it very fresh in my mind, and I hold fast to that testimony. Some of you aren't even sure if you are saved. It's been so long ago. Well, you know, I went forward. Well, what happened? Well, you know, I just, I prayed. I asked Jesus in my heart. Really? Did fireworks go off? Yeah, but, you know, it's been a long time ago. Remember it. Hold fast to your witness. Hold fast. Tell people about it. By the way, one of the great things about soul winning is you tell people. You tell them over it. Well, here's what I did. Isn't that what a witness is? Here's what he did for me. Huh? Scary when it gets quiet. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See it? Let us hold fast our profession. And you know what? He's our high priest. And you know, we are to always be ready to tell somebody about it. Hold fast to your witness. Could you tell somebody how you got saved? Could you tell them what happened? Could you tell them what you were thinking, what you were feeling, what was going on? Could you tell them about it? You should. You should rehearse it over and over again. Hold fast to your witness. Because the devil's trying to get a wave to knock it out of your life. So that Christianity is just... That's the way it is for some. Honestly, I see Christians all the time. That is your Christianity. What's he so excited about, Martha? Oh, I don't know, Ed. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, preacher sure seems excited. What's the deal? I'm so glad I'm saved. I deserve hell. I know I deserve hell. I remember when I was on my way to hell, and I remember when God pulled me up out of the miry clay and he set my feet on the rock. And I still remember that. I remember the thrill. And it's still as if it just happened. Amen. Yeah. The devil would love to take that witness. And he loves it when you stay quiet. And he loves it when you just don't talk about it. And he loves it when the people at work intimidate you. And he loves it when they surround you and they cuss and swear. Well, what about you? What'd you do Sunday? I went to church. Really? Where do you go to church? Yeah, the devil just loves that. You know it? But you know, what you ought, it ought to be. It ought to be, boy, I'll tell you, we had a great day. You know, you guys were talking about getting drunk and everything. You know what I did? I went to church. Yeah, I went to church. We had a great time in church. You know why it's such a great time? Because Jesus saved me. You say, preacher, what would people think? They might get saved. I don't know. They have a better chance of getting saved with that than they do you going. Hold fast, number four, to the right ways. You've learned them. You've done them. Look at Job 27:6. Job 27:6. Bible says, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. He said, I'm doing right. He said, what I'm doing right, I'm holding fast to it. I'm not going to let go of it. Hold fast to the right ways. Hold fast. You know, there are things you're doing right. There are things you are doing that are right and they're good and they're biblical and they're what God wants you to do. Now you hold fast to those things. First one, Hebrews 3:6 is your stand. Hebrews 3:6. Look at it real quick. The Bible says, but Christ is as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto when? Unto the end. Hold fast to your stand. You say, you think you're right. No, I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. You say, well, you can't say that. I just said that. I am right. I didn't say I'm the only one that's right. I just know that I'm right. I believe I'm right. I wouldn't stand up here and preach if I didn't think it was right. And you know what? You shouldn't either. Find out what you believe and stand. Bible says in Ephesians, having done all, stand. No, you do everything you can do, but ultimately, stand. Stand fast and hold fast to your stand. Hold fast. I get frustrated. People say, well, you say, what do you believe? Well, I don't know. That's why I don't listen to the junk you listen to, a lot of you. Because they won't put what they believe. That's not in the notes. I just threw it out. Must be of God. I hear a name every now and then, one of these groups, and I say, okay, I'll look them up. And I look them up. First of all, I don't like rock because it's sin. But I go ahead and give them the benefit of the doubt, and I look them up, and I look for a doctrinal stand. They don't put it. See, the whole spirit just changed. Now I want to change my point. Let me try to alliterate real quick. W, worldliness. No, we don't want to hold fast to that. Listen, what do you believe? Find out what you believe. You say, well, preacher, before you put down what you believe, you better make sure you believe it. And I would think before you sold tickets, you ought to make sure you know what you believe. I would think before I ever wrote a song, I'd know what I believe or I wouldn't know what to write about. Hold fast to your stand. Know what you believe. Amen. Know it and know why you believe it. Get you some scripture and find out why you believe it. Rooted, grounded, what? By the Word of God. You know, people are wimping out, they're weenying out all over the place. Seriously, I'm telling you, many Christians, most Christians, have the backbone of an Oreo cookie dipped an hour in milk. I'm serious. Amen. That's pretty good. We have to hold fast to it because the devil's after it. He's after what you believe. He's challenging what we believe. There's so many wacky things out there today. There's so many cults and isms and schisms and everything else. We need to hold fast to what we believe. And this is a right thing. Preacher, how did you ever learn all that stuff? I learned it on my knees. I learned it in the Word of God. I learned it in my Bible college. I learned it talking to God, and He taught it to me. That's how I learned it. How did you learn what you believe? How did you learn what you don't believe? How did you not learn anything that you don't know if you believe or not? I'm just saying, hey, listen, find out what you believe, why you believe it, and hold fast to it. Don't wimp out and say, well, I've changed since. No, listen to me. If it was right 20 years ago, it's still right. Oh, let me tell you, I go, thank you. And, you know, confidence and in the Word of God. And you know, somebody say, you're so cocky. No, I just believe. I'm not saying everybody's wrong. I don't know if you're right, wrong, or not. I just know that what I believe it's right, or I wouldn't stand for it. And if I didn't stand for what I believe, then I'd be a jellyfish. We saw those, by the way. Amen. God said it. That settles it. By the way, you notice the standards of Bible doubters. They don't have any. Because this right here is a standard. This right here is boundaries. This is black and white. See? Unless you have the words of red. This draws a line. Okay? This removes the gray areas. Okay? It is black and white. Now, find out what you believe and hold fast to it. You folks that have your kids in the Christian school, you're right. Now stick with it. Hold fast to it. Hold fast. You're right about it. We're right about guys and girls not touching. The Bible says that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. The Bible's clear about that. We're right about chaperones. We're right about rock and Christian rock and all those things. We're right about dress standards. We're right about... By the way, everybody has dress standards. That's why we're not all naked. Yeah, even the liberals have some standard. Anyway, I don't want to get into all that. Look, listen. Hold fast to your stand. And look, I see this all the time now. I mean, folks that, you know, used to be solid and take a stand, and now they're kicking around the shoreline, and they're trying to find the precious, wonderful life that they once had that they let go of. Hold fast to the right ways. The first one is your stand. The second one is doing right, doing good. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:21. This is so important. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And if you look intelligent, I'm just about done. If you don't look intelligent, I'm going to add that last point that I started to add a while ago. And the only people I have to look at are the front row with Zach Carpenter, Josh Shauver, Mike Moorbach. You guys, we may be here forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Hey, if you're working a bus ministry, keep doing it. If you're helping folks, if you do things for people, keep doing things for people. If you go to the nursing homes, teenagers, keep going to nursing homes and being a blessing. If you're in the jail ministry, stay in the jail ministry and keep telling people about Jesus. If you're a Sunday school teacher, keep doing that. That's a right thing. It's a good thing. It's a right thing. Keep doing good things. Keep loving unsaved people. Keep loving backsliders. Amen. Hold fast. Don't let anything take the good works that you do. Now, good works don't get you to heaven, but they're right to do. Amen. Love your enemy. So many people, we've lost them because somebody did something to you. Somebody did something to you. Huh? And you got upset. And you got bitter. By the way, once you start hating people, it's easy to hate. It's easy to hate a whole bunch of people. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't let their lack of love take your love. Keep doing good things. Keep doing right things. Hold fast to your goodness. Look back at Hebrews 3 and verse 6. Another good thing in a right way is rejoicing. This scares me. It honestly does. I am scared for Christians today. He says if we hold fast the confidence, we talked about that, and the rejoicing. And there's just not enough rejoicing going on. If we could take all the griping and put it in a bucket, and we took all the rejoicing and put it in a bucket, and we did our vacation Bible school thing and weighed them out, I think the griping will outweigh the rejoicing. And it scares me. It really does. God's people ought to rejoice. I'm not talking about swinging from the lights. That's not rejoicing. That's acrobatics. I'm talking about rejoicing. I'm talking about praising God. I'm talking about 14 men in the men's prayer meeting while you were watching your last few minutes of your game. The 14 men in the men's prayer time got together and we rejoiced. Amen. And praised the Lord. That's what I'm talking about rejoicing. I'm talking about getting together and, hey, the economy's bad, but praise God, I got food. Economy's bad, praise God, we got lights. Two extra ones. You know, the economy's bad, praise God, we got padded pews. We got carpet, God's good, He takes care of us. Rejoicing, praising the Lord. And it's more like, John 16:22. Another one of my favorite verses. John 16:22. So true. So true, so true, so true. John 16:22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I was listening to Daryl and Phyllis sing a while ago, and I remembered, wasn't long ago, and we were visiting you in the hospital, weren't we? And you weren't rejoicing then, were you? But you are now, aren't you? I remember all that. I was having so much fun when you were singing that. I got a mansion over the hilltop. And I was thinking, I didn't know if I'd see Phyllis up here singing anymore. But you did, and you have several times. And God's good, isn't He? God's so good. And I like, you know, Phyllis is one of my, she's one of my people I look at because she gets happy. There are some places I don't look because you don't get happy. I don't care if I stood on my head in the baptistry. Hey, you might rejoice then as long as I stayed an hour. But Phyllis is one I've always been able to look at and she gets happy. Dee Campbell, of course, she goes away. But she's another happy person. Now, Doug's not so happy, but he is, but he hides it. But Dee gets happy, and now every now and then I got to look over there, and every now and then I look here, and there's other folks I look at because they're happy, and they're rejoicing, and they're excited. And my wife's a happy person. She really is. Dave, he's a happy person too. That's being obnoxious. But you know what? Your joy, no man taketh. Why don't you believe that? Oh, GM's about to be, Barack Obama's going to sign my paycheck. Oh, and that's how you lost your joy? Because your business is going to, that's why you're losing your joy? Then what you just did is you didn't hold fast to your joy. You know, grumps. Grouches. I believe this with all my heart. When no one's looking, Brother Hawkins, they're kicking around the seashore trying to figure out why they don't sing anymore, why they don't praise God anymore, why they don't rejoice anymore. I'm going to tell you why you don't. Because you let go of joy. Joy that God gives. Joy that the world can't even understand. The world can't even begin to understand the joy that God gives of a Paul and a Silas in prison with their backs lashed with a whip and they're singing and praising God and the jailer is scratching his head thinking, what are these nuts doing? Hold fast to your rejoicing. Hold fast. Hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to your work. Hold fast to your witness. Hold fast to your right ways. And then the last thing, hold fast to God's will. Proverbs 4, verse 13. Talks about instruction. Proverbs 4 and verse 13. This is my last point. Some of you just rejoiced. The Bible says, take fast hold of instruction and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Do you know the instruction in the Word of God is what God desires for our lives. It is what God wants for me. It all started when I got saved and I first heard the Bible and started learning the Bible and instruction, and all of it that God brought in my life was pointing me to His will for my life. It all led to that. It is so exciting to go back. You know, seriously, it never bothers me when somebody, well, tell me about your past, because I just love to tell how God did it. It just is absolutely amazing to me. That's why every time a long-haired guy comes in, some hippie person or some bum off the street, whatever it might be, you know, somebody, oh, they don't fit, you know, and some of you scoot over, and you know, I'm there, and I'm like, yeah, there's another one. I wonder if God's going to do the same thing. All the instruction, all those times that preacher preach and yell and scream and holler, and I sat there and God worked in my life. Why? Because God had a will for my life. Now I'm going to tell you something. God put all that effort into it. I'm going to hold fast to that thing. His desire for me. It is so sad. How many times people, you know what God wants you to do, and you just let it go. You were on this altar. You knew what He wanted you to do. You were at camp. You were at a conference. You were in chapel. You were here, right here in church, maybe junior church. You knew. Now, I'm going to talk about when you were a little child and maybe you were trying to decide some things. But I'm talking about when you knew what God wanted you to do. His will for your life. And it's so sad. All that God puts into that. All the instruction. A Sunday school teacher. All the way from primary. All the way from the nursery. All the way up. All that instruction that is God has put into it. And all the circumstances in our lives God's put into it to reveal to us His will for our lives. And we just casually walk into the wave and lose it. And then we get old. And boy, I'll tell you, I've wept with them. I'm thinking of a man in his 60s who said one day as he kicked around the shoreline, he said, "Preacher, I'm 60, I believe he was 63 years old. He said, "When I was in my 20s, God called me to preach. And I let it go. And there at 63, he was trying to find it. God puts all His effort into letting us know His will for our lives. And we would let it go for another's will. We'd let it go for our will when we don't have a clue. Remember before He saved us? We were on our way to hell. We're gonna entrust our life, what we do with our life, to us, how we might feel. We're gonna entrust it to someone else, a girlfriend who just came on the scene, seen it all the time. A boyfriend who just showed up. Oh, but he's so cute. God's put everything into your life to teach you and to show you His will for your life, and now you're gonna throw it away just because somebody just came on the scene? You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. See what he says here? He says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Let's quit being casual with the will of God. Let's grab hold of that. Let's hold on to it. Hold fast. Hold fast to God's will. Thank God if you have let these things go. You can grab hold of them again. You know, one of the great things as a pastor is to try to help restore people and to go along the coastline and try to help you find that which you lost. God's Word, your work, your witness, your right ways, God's will. The Bible says we as Christians are to restore such an one. What a blessing it is to be able to help restore that which people have let go. I hope we'll hold fast to things that we know we need to hold fast to. And I hope we'll also help restore others. We'll encourage others. There's folks sitting home tonight, sitting in front of a dumb television, and they used to be in church. They used to teach Sunday school. They used to run bus routes. But what'd they do? They let go. They let go of something precious. I think often in the quiet of the night, or maybe in the storm of the night, they're kicking around, shuffling around, trying to find it again. It's up to us to help them. Maybe you're thinking of somebody right now. I hope you'll do everything you can to help restore such an one. And I hope that you will think about the things maybe you've let go of, and you get them back, and you hold fast. Let's bow our heads, please.